Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us. There we go. There we go. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are you?
I can't complain, man. I can't complain. So I thank you for doing this, man, taking time out of your day just to chop it up with the young fella, man. This is Deeply Rooted, Season 1, Episode 6, with my man Derek Bergeson, better known as DJ Derek B. How you doing, brother? I mean, as far as I know, I was telling you earlier, we don't do a lot of, you know, getting into the career.
Oh, you're chopping up again.
Oh, is it? We don't. You can hear me.
You're chopping again.
All right, that might just be our connection. Is that better? You still, yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, it looks like this cord is dirty. Yeah, okay. I think it is the connection. Sorry about that.
It's all good. You got me? So if you can hear me, Derek, yeah, I think that might be on your end. Sheesh.
Second, I could plug in a hardwire because I'm actually on a Wi-Fi. That's probably what the problem is.
Okay. You able to do that or you want to just keep rolling?
Take me like 2 minutes. I just run in and grab the cord and plug it in.
Dope. That way we can just get it done. You know, y'all, we're working it out. I promise you by season 2, we'll have all these things worked out. It's just me and my man Ron in here. Y'all don't see Ron. He stays out of the camera. But, you know, neither one of us have done anything like this. And then you got these internet issues. If it's not on my end, it might be on their end. I've tried to get ours better. I think we have. So it's a work in progress. But again, you know, I'm going live not because I have to, not because I think 1,000 people are going to tap in, but I like the pressure of it. I like the consistency of it. It gives me deadlines. You know, I'm not able to say, oh, let's just do it in an hour, let's just, you know. So that's why we do this. These will be up. I'll try to trim them at some point to where you don't have to have all of the nonsense or whatever. But for those of you that are rocking with us, I really appreciate it. Yo, I should have put it over there because now I'm looking at him over here. Yep. You get it done, son. How far, how late are we? We've been on for 20 minutes already. Anything worth doing, anything worth having, worth the wait. But I mean, taking the time to do this now, hopefully it'll allow us to get a good solid interview. Cause I tap into Derek. I never actually met Derek. A mutual friend, my homie Jamie, JSK, better known legendary native rapper. He introduced me to Derek, and we've, been conversing back and forth online. He's actually a dude that I will call for advice when I need it, and he's always willing to pick up the phone and give me a second or two. So I definitely appreciate that. But Derek drops jewels all the time online and on his account, which, made me want to get him on here. So hopefully.
Sure, but let's keep my fingers crossed.
All right. So can you hear me?
I can hear you. Listen, today, rookie mistake.
Yeah.
And I had this already plugged in. But I was on, and just time got away from me.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it happens, man. And this is how you should be, man. You do what you can. You go with the flow. I don't put a lot of pressure on myself for this thing, man, because I understand that the message is powerful. And if it helps just one person, then it's worth it to fight through and, to deal with this shit. So it's not a big deal at all. But if you're able to hear me, let's go ahead and get this thing rocking. Who is Derek Bergensen? Not professionally. Who is the man?
I would just describe myself as a big brother. That's if you just take my labels off, he's that guy you call for. You need some help. You need extra hand. Oh, Derek.
That's dope. And has it always been that way, or is that something that, you grew to be, or is it innate?
I think it's always been like that. Because I've been willing to swing the bat more than most people.
Yeah.
And what I mean is I take more chances. I think that's what it is, I've experienced a lot more than my peers because I wanted to try it out.
Yeah. Just taking action, bro. I definitely can dig that. That's why we're even here. Is because I wasn't scared to just step up to the plate, which, reading about your career, right? I mean, your career, just your bio shows that. Who the hell? What?
This is an amazing show.
We got people crawling in for papers, man. My bad.
Running around, plugging in anyway.
So anyway, Jeff, what I was saying was through your bio, though, I could see that. Like, from DVDs to DJing to promotions to distribution side of it, like, your resume reads as somebody who ain't scared to take a shot. You know what I'm saying? And that's dope. And that's taking you places in your life, I assume, right? Like, can you imagine
Definitely.
That you would see, like, does the 10-year-old Derek, does he see these things too? Or, like, did he think you would be where you're at?
No, definitely no. But, that version of me was doing stuff that regular 10-year-olds weren't doing also.
Okay. So it's just been, it's always been there.
I don't know. Some people have just called me an old soul. And mm-hmm. that, I gotta try. I gotta at least try. You're saying I can't do that?
Yeah, no doubt. I'm kind of the same way, man. So I guess that kind of segues into this next question. Like, so where does that motivation come from? Like, can you put a label on it? Like, what drives you?
Well, I wouldn't say that we had this always been motivated to do things. Because grew up with not much. So, you know, having a lot forced me. My mom would always tell me, oh, there's a way. And that was her answer to everything. If I wanted something, she'd say, well, there's a way. And then I'd have to figure it out. So I kind of brain and thought about, you know, how can I get this? And so I just, TV, I take my lead from TV. I'd see kids setting up lemonade stands and having paper routes and, you know, mowing lawns and stuff. And I'm like, well, if kids are earning money, then that too.
Yeah.
You know, from a young age, I've always had that, like, saw it on TV, then it must be, I can do it too.
No, I like that. Because you're damn right.
I think I was a dishwasher when I was 14, and I turned back.
He got that first check, and it's been on ever since. So, how has a failure or an apparent failure set you up for later success?
I don't call them failures anymore. They're just step one in my process. So, a failure will always, you know, give me a chance to recorrect, you know, and I know not to do it that way. So, just been a stepping stone, you know. I never looked at it as, I never use the word failure when I'm describing myself or any of my actions. I'm going to give it a good shot.
I love that. I
often fail. I do, but not that much. Not that much anymore.
Yeah. So do you have a favorite failure or maybe a particular failure that taught you the biggest lesson?
Multiple big lessons from failures, because as you know, I tried multiple things. So my very first big expensive failure, that's really what we want to talk about, right? What was that big one that you took a loss?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't actually take the loss, but I was in charge of designing some posters. And at that time, we would go to Kinko's and do the work there. Mm-hmm. And I saved the file with the correct format. So when it got to the printers, they just printed this black sheet. And, of course, we had to pay for it. So, I mean, I kind of learned to double check and make sure you know what you're doing before you do it.
Yeah, that's a big lesson. Because, you know, things are made in those small little details, you know, like that could have made all the difference in that project, you know. So that's a dope lesson, man. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it that millions of people could see, what would it say and why?
Wow. Billboard.
Could be a few words, a paragraph, just anything, really.
It would be happy.
Be happy. Like that.
I think everything for my life has been based around that idea.
Okay.
Happy, you feel good. And when you feel good, you know, what you need, it comes to you, you know.
I agree. And so
I don't think about money.
No, go
money,
ahead. Sorry.
I don't think about a lot of stuff, but I don't think about negative stuff or anything that would cause a regular human to worry or panic. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a believer in the law of attraction, and for like 12, 13 years now, a avid user of it. And thinking about it is better than, you know, trying to pretend to be positive about it.
Yeah.
So I never think about things that make me worry. If I can set things up like bills, I try to set them up on a auto payment. Mm-hmm. So I have to think about the bills. I never.
Yeah.
It gets paid, you know.
Law of attraction, like the knowledge of that, when I first learned that concept, that really started me on my ascension, or what I, you know, my awakening, I guess you would say. And I use it all the time too. Like, so it's dope that you say that. And I think be happy as a phrase, there's so much there, you know, because I personally think, you know, our purpose here is to become our best self. You know what I mean? So the best Tony, the best Derek that I could possibly be. I have maximum potential, and we seem to get in our way a lot of times, you know, achieving maximum potential, whether it's allowing, you know, negative energies into our world or dead weight or whatever it may be, right? So I love the fact that that's essentially what that means, and it's so simple, is, you know, be the best you can. And like you said, when you do that, the universe, God, whatever you choose to call it, you know, seems to provide, you know, and reward you just for simply being obedient to the mission, which is be our best selves, you know? That was a really dope answer.
I don't think I meant be your best self. I think being happy is different than being your best self. Mm-hmm. Because self now brings up the thought of how bad you are and how good
I
you're
get
not.
That. Yeah.
So for like, just being happy is, you know, I'm overweight a little bit, but I'm okay with it, you know? So being the self, the being the best you is kind of like, it's got multiple definitions.
Mm-hmm.
So I what you mean, but for me, I think being happy, not a dollar in your pocket, you're not gonna go do any missionary work, you're not gonna help nobody else, you're just laying in the sun feeling it and happy.
But
and
see,
I think that's than living your life.
Well, see, with no dollar in your pocket, not anything to eat, you can still give. Because sometimes giving is just kindness. Sometimes giving is just being present to someone's situation. You know, and in terms of best self, I think for me, what I mean by that is because there's two us, right? There's two of us. There's this ego that is built by the mind that functions through mind patterns and thinking and, you know, that tells us who we are. Then there's the awareness of that ego, right? So the part of us that is aware that we have thoughts, that's our true self. Our true self is a concern with ego. So it doesn't involve, like, you know, having millions of dollars to me. It's living your truth, which in turn, when you live your truth, gives you happiness. You see what I'm saying? Like, so that was more where I was going with it, because I'm reading a lot now, and I'm learning a lot about the ego, man, and how destructive it is to us, you know, as people. So dope.
You know, we don't have it for we don't just have it for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I think ego is good for people to be able to measure their personal success, where, you know, because everybody's truth is different.
Yeah.
And everyone's lives change, and so their truths change. So that's why, like, even that person with no money in his pocket and no food in his belly, you say he could still offer something, but for anything good if he feels like shit.
No doubt.
When you're on an airplane, this parent, if and on the airplane and the masks drop, mm-hmm. And so what that is, if you're not happy, you can't offer happiness to someone else that's effective.
Yep.
So that's why I said, be, and if you ain't got if you ain't got nothing going on, and if you're not helping anybody, what you're doing is you're putting your mask on first. Because this is a one game. Even though there's millions of us, right? The game is right here. It's by ourselves. Only you know who's winning.
No doubt. That's
so
dope.
You got to put your first mask on first, and then go help people want to.
I got you.
I think that we're here for... I think stuff to try stuff to become someone better than you were, right? But you could also become a scumbag if you wanted to, because that's your choice, you know. So it's about experiences, because I mean, I've read and watched a lot of stuff about spirits,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm not an expert on spirits or anything, but what I know is they watch us. They watch us all day, all night. So that tells me that the sunsets, they're not in heaven. They're here right now. Mm-hmm. Well, the relationships, they're here right now. So for me, that means I'm already in heaven right now.
That's
so as long as I'm here and I got a pass to ride any ride I want, got to take advantage of it and be happy.
Dope. Dope.
Those experiences will come to you if you're happy. Good things don't come when you're not happy.
No doubt. Growth comes, but, you know, that it's all perspective. Okay, so what is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be time, energy,
oh, that's money. Easy. I mean, every seminar I've ever paid for, every seminar I've ever watched for free, those are the best investments.
So
like you said, you know, out of a down situation, you could, and I have picked up a book and turned it around and made something positive out of it, you know. So investing in my brain, investing in my spirituality is the best investment, because investing in my happiness.
Yeah.
Everything else, I don't worry about it. Just it'll slide to me when I need it.
That's dope, man. You got a really dope mindset, bro. What impact do you want to leave on the world?
I just want to be able to help a few people, see what I see.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I don't know how. You know how far I could spread my word, but by being on this show today, this will definitely help leave some kind of impact. You know, I want people to be able to just honestly use your mind. Like, you got a lot of resources available to us in any situation you're in. When already went through that situation, a couple of them wrote about it, and a couple of them made videos about it. And a couple of them answered the questions. Well, the journey is like finding these answers.
Yeah.
Personal questions.
You know,
so if I could leave an impact, I would like to be able to leave some roadmaps for people.
And I think you do that, bro. I mean, I watch you, you know, teach people all the time. I watch you throw perspectives out there just, you know, all the time. So, I mean, it's not even a, like, what type do you want to leave? Like, you are leaving. You've already left. You know, even people like Jamie speaks so highly of you, you know, that I had to make it a point to get to know you, or to at least, you know, have you in my world. You know what I mean? So that impact has already been made, you know. So I just want you, I'm sure you know that, but if you don't, you know, like, I see you, bro.
Yeah,
like, you help a lot of people, man. And, you know, we need Derek B's, you know, all over the world. Like, so I recognize that. I just want to, you know, let you know. In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Easy one. Is, forgiveness. That a lot of my personal problems were me holding on to things that I forgiven myself for for even being involved with, you know. And I'm not religious. I'm gonna say that I went to Catholic school, you know, for a long time. You know, was an altar boy. Family is still very religious, but I'm not anymore. But I understand what Jesus was saying. You know, he always talked about is in the forgiveness and having the weight lifted off your shoulder. It pulls in the energy for expansion, right? And so if you have that heavy negative, you see, you know, bad memory, I believe that you should feel it and experience it, and you already did, and there's no reason to hold on to it. So kind of like take it out of your backpack and not run a little faster. And at some point, you know what I mean, like Jesus didn't have anything in his backpack, and so he was able to do a lot more things than us. I say my forgiveness, being able to forgive myself, being able to forgive other people and forgive that ego.
Yeah, no doubt. That's dope. Man, great answer, bro. What advice would you give to a smart, driven kid about to enter the real world?
People, you know, advice we give people sometimes didn't work for ourselves. So I'd give is, try anything. Just try it. You know, we live in, it's 2021. Like, we're having an interview from across the country, you know, so the possibilities are endless. Like, but these kids have to use their imagination, because the job I grew up with, you know, dishwasher, fast food. I went to McDonald's the other day and a computer kiosk, a touchscreen.
Yep.
That just tells me a lot more jobs are going to be disappearing for people who aren't active with their imagination. What you want to be when you grow up is a serious question, you know, and we can explain opportunities to younger children more often. There's more than just, you know, YouTube heroes. Like, my son is 10, and he would love to be nothing more than a YouTube star. And
mine too.
Pranking people and playing with video games all day. But there's more to
it. Yeah, I agree, man. Automation is like, you know, it's making it to where you're, like you said, you're going to have to use your brain. You're going to have to think outside of the box right now, like the traditional way. But it's also, you know, people complain about this time and it's fast and the technology is taking over. But for me, and I'm sure for you, this is like one of the best times in history in my life. I was one of those kids that would be curious about something and go open an encyclopedia. Right. And if you've ever done that, you know, you're kind of limited to what's in there. But the fact now that I have a phone in my pocket and I can answer any question or at least get guided in the right way that I have instantly right now is sending me on an expressway of learning, you know, like, and I really take the time to be grateful for that and show gratitude for, you know, my favorite invention of all time, and that's the internet, you know, changed my life, bro. And so I definitely agree. You got to think outside of the box, especially nowadays when in America, just a normal job ain't gonna cut it. You know what I'm saying? You got to have 3 and 4 and 5 sources of revenue, income streams, because just the way the economy is, you know? So I think that's great advice. In the last 5 years, what have you become better at saying no to? Distractions, invitations, etc.
Everything. What I've learned is to be selfish. I know it sounds terrible, but I am selfish. And I'm selfish with my time. That's it. Nothing else. You want money, you want stuff, I'll give it to you. But my time, whoo.
Yeah.
I love to say no, because, man, I think, man, how got caught up in that, trying to please everybody for a long time, and I was just overloaded, and I'd stay up till 4 in the morning, like, I got to finish this. I told him I'd do it for him, and, you know, and say no to everything, you know, unless I feel it. So if it's not genuine from me, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. So was there a particular realization, or is there a particular approach that you take? Like, you understand what I mean? Like, is there, what has helped you do that? Because it's hard for me. I mean, I guess, quote unquote, retired at the beginning of the year. And that was part of it, bro. It was part of it. It was the only thing I could do to maybe, like, just get a break and, you know, not have to say no so many times, you know, and hurt people's feelings. That was hard for me. So was there anything that made it easier, or was there something that pushed you over the edge?
Yeah, it made it easier if you just told the truth. Like, man, to be honest with you, man, shoot, I got these kids I got to deal with, and I'm got this softball, and I got Boy Scouts coming up, and I really just don't have the time. And I think if you're honest, then people, they'll accept it. And that's my approach. I'm just keeping it 100. Like, whew, man, I'd love to do it. And under any other circumstances, I would. But here's the reason why I can't.
Yeah, that's dope. Okay. When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, or have lost your focus temporarily, what do?
I smoke a lot of weed.
No doubt. So that's nothing else, right? But I mean,
when I get
go ahead.
So I play records. I go digging in the crate, and I find, you know, like, that's my kind of it recenters me.
Yeah,
I'm listening to music.
Yeah, that's dope.
You know, escape. I'll sit and listen to music and smoke.
Which kind of leads me to my last question. Do you have a song that you consider to be the soundtrack of your life?
I actually have one song, but there is a particular song that I feel could be the soundtrack to a better life for everybody.
That's dope.
Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Wake Up.
Wake Up, Everybody. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's a great choice, man. Hell yeah.
It touches me, and I feel like there could be a better future because we have all the pieces to the puzzle.
Yeah.
That's just,
I even like that Public Enemy version of that. It was in a movie, maybe Life or something. I even like that version of it. So, Derek, man, this has been dope, man. You're such a dope dude. And you know, in terms of your time and being willing to give up time, I appreciate from the bottom of my heart you giving me this time, because you dropped some gems, man. Like, again, you know, part of this thing is about me giving flowers to you guys, man, and being, you know, 20, 25 years in the game and being, you know, trying to be a high achiever myself. You know, when it comes to other high achievers, we don't do it for recognition most of the time, you know what I'm saying? But you still need it, bro, and you inspired me. There's a lot of other people that I know you've inspired, so thank you, man, for your dedication and your commitment to yourself, to your mission, and to, and you know, to the world, bro. So I really appreciate you, homie.
And like, I just want to I want people, you know, in 10 years from now to hear me speak and it be the best stuff I ever said, you know, because a lot of guys, and I'm talking about the music industry mostly, and a lot of guys in our business, here's what you say about other guys. It's like, yeah, man, you should have heard him in 92, boy. But I don't want to be that. Mm-hmm. I want to be the guy, man, the 92 version was really dumb, and this version right now, this current version, is the best version. Dumb. You know, I want always to just be better. And you know, one of my online mentors, his name is Jim Rohn. Mm-hmm. And he says, to leave a profit with anything you do, leave a profit. So what that means is just whatever you touch, make sure it's better because you touched it.
I like that. Leave a profit. That's dope.
Leave a profit.
Hell yeah. Well, you're definitely doing that, bro. So I know you got other things to do. What I do want to do is I know you're DJing on Twitch and you have some things that you're doing. So if you want to let me know what those are so we can share those and, you know, get people. Because I know that reggae joint that you do, that's my type of flavor all day, you know. So shout some of that stuff out for me.
Yeah, no doubt. You can follow me on Twitch. Just DJ Derrick B, D-A-R-I-C-B, spelt a little bit different. And play a lot of reggae. I play a lot of old school. So every morning from 8 to 10, I have a, it's called the Lowrider Oldies Show. And I just play music that I would hear at car shows when I was young. So it's soul, it's funk, disco. It's hip hop, it's freestyle, and I just mix it up.
Hell yeah.
Every morning on Twitch.
Every morning? I didn't know you did it
every morning.
Oh, wow.
Monday through Friday. Yeah, Monday through Friday.
I'm on it, man. I'm going to have to start tapping in with you, man. And this, I guess, one last thing. Like, you know, that 90s bass stuff, like Mac Maul, a lot of the things that you were involved in, right? Like that stuff was so heavy in of an influence in our lives, like down here in my area. You know what I'm saying? Like we were getting those records, and I didn't understand. I was one of those kids that, you know, every Tuesday morning when the new records came out at the record store, I already knew what was coming out. I knew what I was there for, and I was there every damn Tuesday, you know? But we had... There's like this little outlet mall or something that they put in Lawrence, which had, I forgot what the name of the record store was, but they obviously had a different distribution company. And I swear to God, it had to be y'all, right? At Bayside, right? Because that's where I started getting like Spice One, Mac Mall. Like I started getting all this shit, right? So like, even in that sense, you've had a big impact on my life, even before I knew who the hell you were, you know what I'm saying? Because if you go into like my production career, that's where that shit comes from. That's what I listen to, you know what I mean? I was a Bay Area head, dude. So, again, I want to say thank you for that. And then somebody said, was Mac Maul, was Tupac ever close to signing Mac Maul? Somebody wanted to know that.
Mac Maul, I mean, Tupac was around because of Kyrie and Jay King. So he wanted production from Kyrie.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know if that ever actually happened, but he liked the crew. And so he even he directed a video for Mac Maul. No, it was just a lot friendlier to network back then. It was easier to network. And also remember, you know, Tupac wasn't even close to being famous at that time anyways.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was just as, you know, he wasn't even bigger than, you know, Spice One was way bigger than him, you know, Gold Records.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, Tupac was, he part of Digital Underground. That was kind of how we knew him.
Yeah. So you met homie several times then.
Yeah, definitely. And he had a lot of love for Vallejo, you know, E-40 and he friends here.
Damn. You know. That's dope.
Manager was Layla Steinberg at the time, and she worked for she was a consultant for Strictly Business Records.
Mm-hmm.
The label before Young Black Brother Records, so how he kind of got into the network is Layla was around a lot.
That's dope. So at that point in time, Mac Maul, they right here, and Mac might even have been a little bit bigger because, man, that my opinion, dog, like that. Oh my god, like That might be on the soundtrack of my life. My bad.
Yeah, he was, he was only bigger at that time because, independent.
Yeah.
Oh, City Hall Records. You know what I mean? It's like, we got to just press more CDs. We got to press more records. We got to. It was a wild ride because, about too many other like independent hits before Mac Mall. I mean, Five and RBL Posse, they did, you know, a few hundred thousand independently.
Yeah.
And Mac Mall was part of that crew that did those big numbers early on.
Yeah, in a major way. Like, I mean, I spent so much time with that damn album, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was like a Bay head, man. Like, I could replay some of those beats just from memory. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, anyway, Derek, man, I don't want to keep you. Oh, go ahead.
Real quick, I just want to say, we knew all about, you know, funny when you guys started to get on our radar. When I say you guys, I mean the Midwest.
Yeah.
And we would be like, man, what's going on? Why are they buying all this? And then, you know, one day we got a call, and I think it was Tony Draper, and he's like, yeah, man, we want to do a record. My artist is named 8-Ball and MJG, and we're like, who the hell are you? We never heard of you.
Yeah.
And so we're like, where y'all from? And so we were like, oh, damn, the South is now messing with us. And Texas started calling. And
man.
Also, you got to remember, there weren't many options for hip-hop records, you know. So if you had the ability to get into a chain store early on, then you sold a lot of records.
Yeah, because a kid like me was going to buy it. A kid like me was going to buy it. I'll never forget. 187 Proof, Spice One's first record. Because all I had was like the visual, and then I would read the titles of the songs. That's all I had. And, you know, I can't buy 8 records a week. I might could only buy 2 or 3, you know. But it's funny that you mentioned 8-Ball and MJG, because that's one thing that's very valuable about being from the Midwest. Is we're right in the middle, so we're not really tied to a particular sound, right? So you got Wu-Tang coming in at the same time as you got, you know, all these other people coming in from the South, or like, you know, Cash Money coming in, and there's not a stigma. Like in New York, they listen to New York records. Like if you listen, not so much now, because the last time I went to New York, it wasn't like this. But like New York radio only played New York artists. Like it just, I had a friend that grew up from New York, and she didn't hear Outkast until like their 4th album, like Miss Jackson or some shit, yeah. You know? And so I really value that, is that we just took it all in, man. Like, and maybe that's why the sales were like they were, is because we always felt like we're being left out of the industry. Nobody cares, you know, nobody, there's no big rappers from around here. So we want it all, shit. So,
yeah. We always, the Midwest became, and more so even like just Kansas City was like, considered that our second home, you know, because artists would go and take a nice little tour and come back like, man, this response in the Bay.
Yeah, that's how it is. So,
and even
funny.
You know, and that's how we even met, you know, JSK, is, you know, we even hit a lot of Indian reservations, and we do shows in crazy places, like wherever they'd let us.
Yeah.
You know, Mac Dre on Indian reservation, Yuck Mouth, and it was like sell out though.
Yeah,
amazing shows.
This is dope, man.
So when the record started selling, the tour started happening, and people are like, we got to get on the road, you know.
Yeah,
money was being made because we would press. We were fortunate to be in the Bay Area. Well, guess what's here? Shoot, every pressing plant you need, every printing place you need, you know, the tools of the music business are in the Bay Area. And yeah. So, pressing plant don't care who you are. If you got $1,000, they'll let you press some CDs.
Yeah,
you know, so we press CDs, and then we just got on the road, and it was a lot of good money made back in them CD days.
So Just because this kind of relates, how are you feeling about the NFT thing? Like, it kind of feels to me that we might be able to get some money back in this thing, man.
Think maybe for a handful of bigger artists who are already kind of in demand. Otherwise, it's like, selling stock in a stock nobody wants, So some people are going to make money, a handful of people are going to do well. It's not for everybody, But it will help people because I've had deals with, like in Japan, who wanted to license flops, records who didn't do nothing out here. Like, yes, we need this. So,
That's been confusing to me. We had a dude from Japan come by our whole back catalog, man. And like I didn't understand like why you want this obscure shit from Midwest to go to Japan, but apparently that's a thing. And he came back like a couple months later and wanted more. But it was like, we printed up 5,000 in 2002 and we sold three and we still got two sitting around, like that type of stuff. But he came and bought them all. So it's interesting, man. I'd like to get to Japan and see what's going on,
was lucky enough to go there for 2 weeks with artist named Mr. Shadow from San Diego.
I don't.
It's like a whole subculture of, it's not a like just like hip hop. They, there's pockets of hip hop. So there's a big pocket of people who like ate the West Coast movement, like the lower scene, Ben Davis, Dickies, 64 Umbrellas, and speaks with that group of people, and they took us to stores that were dedicated to, this merchandise and pants and clothes and music, bikes.
Is that the
It was
documentary that
crazy.
you did? All right, so we must have cut, but I didn't hear your answer, but I think you said yes. What is the name of that? I want to watch that. And where can I watch it?
You can't watch it anywhere because we never finished it.
I got you. Got you. That's dope. So you still
You
got that
know,
footage sitting around.
got footage to see the thing is we didn't know what we were doing. And so when important things were happening, like, we were all participating in them and no one grabbed a camera. We had a lot of fun though.
That's dope. Well, again, I'm gonna let you go, Derek, because I'm sure we can stay here all night, bro. Again, salute to you, bro. I'm about to tap in with you every morning, let you get me going. You know what I'm saying? So, thank you, bro. Any parting words?
Just strive to be happy, and
That's what's
do
up.
your philosophy.
That's what's up, man. Well, salute. You have a good evening, sir. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right.